A to the K.
Hello, welcome to Whiskey and Wrestling, Volume 4, Anthony.
Volume 18 four months. Volumes,
18 months of A to the K.
18 years, sorry. So, a lot of people may be thinking to themselves, what's all this about? So, if you've not watched any of the other volumes, go watch it. We'll wait.
Hurry up.
Obviously, we, as you may know, if you do listen to us in any sort of capacity regularly, we like to go on what some may call a tangent at times. So in a bid to keep our main show as tangent-free as possible, as impossible as that is, because we do still go off sometimes, we reserved a nice little segment that we do every once in a while called Whiskey and Wrestling, in which we will have a whiskey and we'll just talk wrestling. This is the place for all things ranty, I suppose. So we're going to moan about stuff. We're going to just talk about... It's still going to be wrestling related, but we're going to just go slightly off script. Two men, two whiskeys, no script.
I like that.
How do you feel?
Better than the last, you know, two, something, one, something that I saw. But Anthony, as is tradition on the show, what is your whiskey of choice? For me, I am drinking the wonderful, the Ardbor Highland Single Malt Scotch Whiskey.
A great one to say with a Scouts accent.
Good.
Ardmore. Now, I'm keeping it simple. I'm just going for a Grant. Now, for those who are whiskey drinkers, you'll know Grant is a fairly typical tipple. So my stock has ran down. So I'm working through the Grants, and then I'm going to have an assessment, Carl. As you know, I've been prone to a Glenfiddich or a... What was I drinking before that? A Laphroaig and so on. But we'll keep it to the Grants. We'll go from there, keep it nice and easy. I'm also using my commemorative A to the K, if you can see that there.
Look at that.
The A to the K whiskey glass. If you would like your own customised A to the K whiskey glass, go fuck yourself.
You ain't us. You don't get one.
No, joking. I would love to offer these out, but these are custom made for Carl and I. So. Yeah. You ain't getting what.
No, you ain't.
Now, Carl. Well, we figured we'd do. It's been 18 months, Carl. Probably longer than I think either of us maybe expect. Not that we had a time limit on a podcast, but we did it for fun, and we were always going to do it as long as it was fun. And I feel like it's probably exceeded either of our expectations at this point. So we've had 18 months, Carl. 18 months talking regularly about whatever we feel like. We've covered all sorts. We've covered our favourite video games. We've covered... favorite matches, favorite wrestlers, we've done all sorts like that. We've regularly covered each week of wrestling. We've regularly covered the news. And then, you know, partway through year one, we decided, well, let's see if we can get some interviews in. So I figured let's start by talking about year one's experience, Carl. So I didn't even think, it's mad to think that year two has been crazier than year one in terms of guests. And that's not to disrespect any of the guests for year one, but we sort of were about halfway through year one, am I right in saying, when we were like, well, let's see if we can get some guests, you know. We were doing reasonably well, but it's not like we were the biggest podcast ever at that point, and still aren't for that matter. But you know, I'll reminisce back to, like, I think I was big on Thunder Rosa at the time. We were talking about NWA Power. We were talking about the fact that she was showing up on AEW, getting some hype packages, and we're like, okay, let's just drop her an email, see what happens.
Yeah.
And would you believe she fucking got back to us, didn't she?
I remember just being so, like, obviously that was the first. You never forget your first, do you? Do you say? But, I mean, yeah, like, when you sent me the message saying, holy shit, we just have Thunder Rosa reply to us, I was like, oh shit, like, we've got an interview booked in. Obviously, you know, as Anthony said, we're quite a varietal podcast. You know, we never set out to be... this is what we're going to do, we're going to go after this, or we're going after that. We just wanted to talk about wrestling, what happened in the previous weeks, what's happened in the news, and then, you know, a different unique segment. We always called it a unique segment of the week, didn't we? So as you said, we were like, well, you know, imagine if we got the opportunity to speak to some people. So, you know, it was mad, really. I don't think we really contacted many people. Like, if at all. Like, I believe, like, Thunder was one of the first ones we ever contacted, because what's different
this is no disrespect to Thunder, but I'll be straight up about this for the sake of the story. The first person I ever contacted, I'm not having a moan when I say this, I never got a reply, but I imagine he's a very busy fella and may never have seen the email. First person I ever contacted, because we were always like, let's talk to someone who we fucking loved, right?
Yeah.
Growing up, it was actually Shane Helms. Because
mm-hmm.
we were both, I think at the time, we were both reminiscing about his work with The Rock, and we were like, oh, it would be so cool to book and speak to him, he's a ledge. So I emailed him, he had an email address, and sadly we never got a reply to that. Not to be deterred, we carried on messaging other people, and as I say, he's a busy guy, so I'm sure mm-hmm. he didn't see it. And I think it's one thing you get with these sort of podcasts, especially there are those podcasts out there, a lot of podcasts that we follow on social media, we get along with, who they exclusively do interviews, and they do them on a much bigger volume than we do, and that's mm-hmm. that's what they do. And you know, I've got to admire that, because they must just carry on with that determination and not being deterred by like lack of response or rejections, and they just crack on mm-hmm. and get what they can. Like we don't really do numbers in a big volume, because we're like, well, there's a handful of people we'd really love to speak to, and we'll try, but obviously that's their bread and butter. They are an interview show, and much credit yeah. to them, because like you say, there are plenty that just either don't get back to you or just tell you to fuck off.
Yeah.
In the politest manner, of course.
Yeah, of course. Which I think is fine, you know, for people to, you know, want to be like, you know, that's what we're about. We are a wrestling interview podcast. Like, more power to you. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
I think
definitely.
for us, that
we've watched
never...
some fantastic interviews of people that we've maybe not known all that well, and it helps you get to know them. So, I mean, like you say, it's fucking awesome work.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the thing that, you know, we've always been very truthful and honest about is we're not an interview podcast. It's not what we ever set out to do. We never set this up with any goal in mind of, you know, becoming famous or, you know, getting all these guests on and stuff like that. We set it up because we were two best mates who, as life went on and we got older and we had families and stuff, we never really managed to speak to each other as much as we used to do. And we were like, you know what, we need to just set some time away like we used to back when we were in our, you know, 11, 12 years old, and we'd ring our, you know, ring each other up on, you know, dial
exactly.
phone back in the day, and just chat for hours. And we were like, you know, we need to just, you know, do this more often. And
exactly.
then, you know, for me, I've said many a time, I didn't know what podcasting really was. Like, I knew there were podcasts. I knew Ricky Gervais had a podcast. I knew there was other things. And I was like, you know, I'd listen to bits and bobs, but I was never really a podcaster guy. And Anthony was the brainchild behind this. He was like, do you know what? You know, it'd be great if you did a podcast. I think it was when we were watching. Was it when we were watching Royal Rumble, or was it?
I think
beforehand.
It was before. We mentioned it a few times before. Our first ever podcast was the Rumble Talk.
It was Rumble Talk, yeah.
And it was actually the one. It was the first one, the one where Edge returned just before the pandemic. It was, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was
yeah.
our first Rumble. That was the first podcast, first Rumble Talk, and like I think we probably talked about it. Maybe the year before or a few months before at another time, because for those who don't know, Carl and I tend to meet up every WrestleMania and every Royal Rumble and watch those pay-per-views. They are the important pay-per-views to us. I know they argue in WWE there's the big four, there's the big fucking two, there's the Royal Rumble and there's WrestleMania. Yeah. The other two could do one, so we tend to meet up for those pay-per-views because they're the fucking best ones. Mm-hmm. And obviously we drink and we muse on the idea, and we decided to do the podcast. But yeah, so obviously year one, we ended up speaking to Thunder Rosa. Fantastic. Made up. I was so hyped on it at the time as well. I was fucking shocked I got a response as well. But
I mean, you know, let's be raw. Let's be honest and truthful here, Anthony. You did fuck up the time on that one.
Okay, tell that story.
So obviously,
and this is I think one of the very few that I've arranged, and this is probably why.
So obviously, as you know, we live in the UK, and the majority of wrestlers that we, you know, actually would love to talk to and, you know, interview on the show live in different time zones. So, of course, Anthony had agreed a time to speak to Thunder, and we had it in the calendar. And then when we come to look at it on the...
It's going
to
land nicely after work. Yeah.
Of course it was. It was after work. You know, obviously we have day jobs. This isn't what we do. We just do it for the love of it, as we say. And we the day off we came to it, and we were like, yeah, so we're going to speak this time. And I was like, let me just double check. And I was like, shit, you do realize that you know, we were in a fucking, we were forward an hour or something, and that particular thing wasn't, and it was back or so, and basically we were off by like an hour, like at least an hour.
An hour later than I thought.
So we were like, shit, we're still in work. So obviously, because it was like during the pandemic and stuff like that, like I think we were both working from home, weren't we, at the time?
We were, and luckily I operate Flexi, so I was able to take some leave.
Yeah, and I'm an expert bullshitter, so I was able to come up with an excuse. but effectively, we managed to still make it to
work. We managed to get it to work out.
Yeah.
But I think with a few expletives from Carl. Don't think you're overly thrilled with me then.
Oh, no.
And funnily enough, I think you've arranged all of them since.
Maybe, you know, I wonder why. But no, it's, you know, I think we've touched on it a little bit, and obviously I know you're going to get into the guests and stuff in a minute, but I think it's important we highlight the fact that, you know, we're not an interview podcast, but at the same time, we only reach out to people we genuinely want to interview. Like, and, you know, it's great for all these other podcasts out there and stuff like that, and I don't want to take anything away from them. But you do see sometimes, like, it feels almost like they're clutching straws just trying to get a guest on. And I think that's something we'll never do. At the end of the day, if someone's going to come on our show, it's because we want to speak to them.
We get to a point then with no one to speak to, then we just won't do it. That's the bottom line.
That's it. You know, as you said, like, an interview is a segment three. Like, there'll be a few times where something's cropped up and we've already had a segment planned, so we've had four segments. But ultimately, we have a segment three to plan every week. And we like to have it as much of a variety as we can. So whether that's, you know, doing a quiz with me brother Brad, whether it's you know, doing fucking looking at wrestling video games or like entrance music, or, you know, we try and spice it up and do different stuff as well. We do best of lists and things, but, you know, that's the fun of it. I think it's amazing having interviews with people, especially people that we've reached out to because we genuinely, you know, love them and love to listen to them. But, you know, sometimes it's nice as well just to do other stuff. And I think we'll always do that. Because that's
the reason I give credit to ones who solely do the interviews, because there's a stress to go along with that. Because even we've felt that on a level, and we're not like you say, we're not trying to get an interview each week or anything like that. We're trying to get them sort of periodically. But even we felt like the stress of it was like, oh, they haven't responded, or I should have sent another, or should we message this person? And it kind of consumes you a little bit. So, you know, hats off to anyone who does it on a more regular basis than us, because there's a large amount of stress involved with doing that as well.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose if you operate on like an interview only basis, like, you have to plan way in advance for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
they're probably way more planned ahead than we are, to be fair.
Otherwise, there's no chance you would have a weekly podcast, because there's no way you're going to get someone agreeing every week. So, it takes a lot of effort and planning, and, you know, hats off to anyone who is an interview podcast out there. And I think, as you said, there's been some fantastic ones going on in the industry. And, you know, we have never been in this to be better than any other podcast or anything like that. We're here. No. Listen to us. If you want to listen to us, watch us on YouTube if you want to. And, you know, we're never going to force that on you. We're never going to send you messages and be like, watch every show and stuff. Like, it's just like, if you want to watch us, cool. Like,
the day, this, like, it's a really rich community, which I think is fantastic. And there's something for everyone. So, you know, we might not be your cup of tea, but I guarantee there is your cup of tea out there. There's low, like, I'm being very British about it as well. Cup of tea.
There is your bloody cup of tea out there, mate.
There's such a community out there. It was a little. There's such a rich community out there, and obviously we've interacted with and met like so many like really cool guys who do a similar thing, and loads of fun ideas as well. I've seen people who are like, apologies because I'm trying not to be too specific and name names, because then you'd never be done. But there's people out there who are like redoing stories that like redoing storylines from WWE and how they would do them and stuff like that, and it's just like so much fun concepts out there. So obviously not just us, but look at the internet wrestling community, look at the internet podcast or the wrestling podcast community. It's fantastic. It's so rich and so fun.
Yeah, and you know, at the end of the day, people are doing this. You know, I can't imagine there's money in it for hardly anyone, really.
The reality is, unless you're like at like Van Vliet level, you're not this, it, like you say, we're not doing it professionally, and there's not a lot of money in it in that sense. You have to be within the millions to be doing that kind of numbers. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So, you know, just, you know, if you're into wrestling, and, you know, just show some support, for people. You know, even a single like or, you know, just a watch of someone's video, you know, is a reassurance to anyone who's doing this. And, you know, yeah. as Anthony said, there's so many out there. There's so much variety. Like, check them all out. There'll be definitely be something for you as well. So,
yeah. And to be honest, like, it's a very opinion-based thing, wrestling. So it's like, it's great seeing different people's takes on things. Like, there are people who we get along with really well, or we're really interested in their take on wrestling, but it's not necessarily something we agree with, but their opinion is still fascinating. So, like you said, I think the community itself is actually really good fun.
Yeah.
For the most.
Anyway, we did say there's going to be tangents. So, Thunder Rosa, we told that story. Who else did we have? Season one, year one?
I want to say the next one. I might have the order right here, so apologies, Carl, but I think the next one was good old Griff, wasn't it?
Was it Griff next, or was it Georgia?
I feel like it might have been Griff before Georgia. Correct me if I'm wrong there, Carl.
I have no idea. My memory's a sip. But we'll talk about Griff.
They were kind of together, but like Griff kind of came as a bit of, sort of a surprise as well. And I'm going to class him as a you find, because obviously he was having some matches on AEW. He probably more prominent on Dark at that point. He wasn't All Elite. Has only been made All Elite very recently, which we're made up for him for, because he's definitely a talented guy. But this was like, you almost scouted this guy, and you were like, this guy's got to be something. I don't want to speak to him. And
want to be a star, don't you?
And yeah, so we ended up speaking to Griff again, proper up and comer, really fascinating guy, a bit of an insight into like the indies and into how he got into it. And you know, we've been massive supporters of Griff, not just because of that, because he's a talented guy, but ever since we've been like, every time he's been like, he's had some prominence on AEW, or the minute he was made All Elite, or everything he's done with the Varsity Blondes, we're just like so much more hyped now, because like we've got to know him on that level. You know what I mean? It's it's been, that was fantastic. For year one, sorry, go on.
Oh no, I was just going to say about Griff. I just think, what a cool guy. You know what I mean? Like, literally just dropped him a message on Instagram. I was just like, big fans. Obviously, we have this little UK wrestling podcast. Like, you probably don't want to be on it, but you know, we watch you, we think you've got a bright future, you know, everything. Because again, we only ever reach out to people that we actually, you know, are fans of and you know, we want to speak to. And you're just like, you know what, let's do it. And I was like, holy shit, like, that's awesome. What a sound guy. Obviously, he's recently got engaged. He's recently been All Elite. And, you know, his potential is so sky high. And I can honestly see him going on to become a megastar.
Well, I mean, look at some of the, like, and it's an absolute compliment, but some of the comments we've had on the video where we interviewed him, like people saying they see a young Adam Copeland, which is a massive compliment, like such a big guy in the industry edge, to be compared to him is fantastic. But he definitely got something there. And I'll admit now that he was definitely he was your find. You were like, that guy's awesome, and I want to speak to him. And so we did.
Yeah. And genuine awesome guy. Just can't say anything nicer about him.
And I'll stress, every interview we've done has been fantastic, but probably one of the closest to your heart, Carl, and mine, because of his father, because of the connection to the UK. We spoke to Georgia Smith.
We did.
You know, I've got to talk. She was doing everything. Still is, but she was doing so much to sort of promote her father's legacy, to control the social media pages. She's attending a lot of the events to show his ring gear and talk about his life and stuff like that. And again, absolutely fascinating conversation. Such a lovely person. But obviously, as I say, there's that connection there, because he's, you know, not only is he the British bulldog, he's from like a town that's what, 15 minutes away.
Yeah, if that. Really close.
Yeah, really close. So we've always had that natural affinity towards the British Bulldog.
Yeah, I mean, it's only fair, Anthony, for me to tell a story about me fucking up as well, which I did on the Georgia interview. It's such a weird one, because obviously we had Thunder Rosa, we had Griff, so Georgia was our third interview, and I don't know what it was. I was just so almost like, I was like almost awestruck. Like, obviously, with anyone we have on the show, we speak to beforehand and stuff like that. Maybe I just got lost in the conversation. Maybe it was just like, oh my God, I'm speaking to Davey's daughter. And I don't really know what it was. But as you will see, if you watch that interview back, somebody forgot to press record.
Yes, luckily the audio kicked in. So we had all of the audio. but the somebody. Beginning video, the video does not kick in straight away.
Yeah, but obviously, I think, you know, to your point, the comedian that you are, we made light of the situation by Anthony just looking at me with absolute disgust in a still, and I'm just looking like, and, you know, stuff like that is, again, just why I think it's, you know, it's so good just, like, doing the stuff that we do, because it was like, I fucked up, but at the same time, people saw it and were like, yeah, I saw that, it was quite funny. And it was like, no one was like, oh, I can't believe you did this, and that was amateur and stuff. Like, you know, it was our third interview. Like, the fact is that the first two interviews, we winged them because we'd never done it before. Like, the first interview we had was speaking to fucking Lemaire Romero, you know what I mean? Second interview we have was Griff Garrison. We know he's going to go on to be a fucking legend. And we're just like, yeah, yeah, we do interviews. And the third one, I don't know what it was. Totally like, the first mistake was the time zone, but the second mistake was not pressing record. And, you know, I remember saying to you, I can't believe I've done that. And I felt so bad and so guilty about it and stuff. But, like, it still turned out to be awesome. It's one of our most viewed videos on YouTube that we've had. And, you know, George is fucking, she's ace. And I'm going to say it now as well. I would love for Georgia to be the first guest we bring back for a second time, because obviously we know she's going to be at For the Love of Wrestling. Next year, and I'd love to talk to her. Obviously, when we spoke to her, Davey hadn't got into the Hall of Fame. She's currently campaigning to get him on the Wigan Walk of Fame, and obviously she's coming to For the Love of Wrestling, so we've got so many more things to talk to her about. So yeah, I'm saying it now, I would like Georgia to be the first guest we get back on the show.
Yeah, because like I said, there's so much more to be talked about, and we've been following everything she's been doing for Davey, like, since then, since before then, to be honest. But as you say, at the minute, she's currently trying to get the Walk of Fame and the statue sorted. The petition's been going around. I think we've signed it. We've promoted signing it. Mm-hmm. And so many other people have. So, you know, fingers crossed that all comes off. I'm sure it will, because, you know, Wigan Council will have fucked up massively if they don't do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, like, I totally agree with you there. Be ace to have any of them on again, but George just feels like a natural fit, because there's a lot going on there that we need to talk about.
Yes.
So that was year one, and we were made up with ourselves with a handful of interviews, and we were like, yeah, get us. So we move into year two. We thought, we'll keep this train rolling, and we decided to speak to all the local talent in Lizzie Evo. Mm-hmm. Hello. Apologies, I keep doing that the wrong way. But Lizzie,
I mean, it was me who fucked that up. I've got a bit of a thing of fucking things up. I fucked up, obviously, we'll talk about Mickie James. Fucked that up. Fucked up recording. And fucked... Maybe it's the women. Maybe I'm not good around the females.
Maybe.
All my mistakes tend to be with that. But, yeah.
So, Lizzie, obviously, we had a slightly different affinity there, because she is... She's a local lass. She's a Liverpudlian. She's a red Carl. I think you let that go for the interview. Yes. But... obviously, she's another up-and-coming talent, really talented person. I think I'd seen her quite a lot on what ended up being Defiant Wrestling, but WCPW at the time, before the indie scene got taken over by NXT UK, pretty much. Really prominent, currently wrestling for, and was at the time wrestling for TNT Extreme, which is a Liverpool-based wrestling promotion, and has gone on to absolutely kill it. I mean, she's winning championships left and right. She's doing absolutely fucking awesome. And again, another fascinating interview that we were made up to get.
I think, I don't know whether we've got them listed down. I know we did. So it's technically an interview, but it was also technically just the first guest on Whiskey and Wrestling. We interviewed Tony Knox, technically, didn't we?
Yeah, to be fair, yeah, sorry. I kind of skipped over that, because he was part of Whiskey and Wrestling rather than an interview. But yeah, you're quite right, he was a guest on Whiskey
and Wrestling. So Tony's been around the wrestling business in the UK for decades. He's a wrestling photographer.
Fact, everyone, he's been around the business so long that Carl's actually wrestled alongside him.
Yeah, that's true. He was the Mothman for a bit. But yeah, so way back when I was very, very young, 16, 17, whatever, trying to get into, you know, a little bit of wrestling, it was the first time I met Tony. So I reached out to him at the start of this year, and just kind of was like, I bet he's got stories, because he's a wrestling photographer. He goes around, he's got pictures of fucking everybody. And do you know what?
He's stories for days, man. He's spoken to the likes of Bubba Ray and everything, to be fair.
Bubba Ray, Hulk Hogan, you know, he had stories on everyone. But, you know, he was very candid with us. He was very honest about his experiences with people and stuff like that. And he's just a really sound guy. You know, he does amazing wrestling photography. So, you know, definitely go and check him out if you don't already. But he's just a really cool guy. But, you know, he's very well known on the UK scene. And obviously a bit of a blast from the past for me. But he was nice enough to join us on an episode of Whiskey and Wrestling. So we don't list it as an interview for that reason. But technically it was. We asked him a lot about... No, we did interview him, but it was just a bit more casual.
That Whiskey Wrestling was, yeah, we kept it more casual, but it was us sort of asking him a ton of questions, so it is an interview in all fairness.
And I think as well, you know, and to anyone listening, I think that's something we might start doing a bit more, just different, you know, guests and stuff coming onto these Whiskey and Wrestlings. I think it's something we might start doing a bit more frequently. I think at the minute it's every like 3 or 4 months or so, isn't it? But maybe we'll do it once every like 2 months or something, and we might have one where it's just us, one where it's we bring a guest on and stuff like that. So
I've always thought it might be a good place, because in terms of guests, like interviews are usually with wrestlers and stuff, but the joy of Whiskey and Wrestling is that's when we could potentially have other podcasters on, and we could talk to them about what they're doing and so on like that. So or other, it doesn't have to be a podcaster, but obviously other wrestling enthusiasts and stuff like that. So the possibilities are limitless in that sense, really.
We're all about the variety, as you can tell. So,
yeah, could be like WWE, we're a variety show.
Oh, don't
do that. So, I don't want to make this all about the interviews, Kyle. So, I'll sort of move on as sort of sharp as I can, then we can go on to some other bits. But, so we spoke to Lizzie Evo. Another fantastic interview. We then tried to mix it up a little bit. We went on to speak to Stanley Sherman, who was the creator of the Mankind mask, Mick Foley's mask.
Yeah,
among many others, he actually created the Undertaker mask that was wore sort of briefly when Undertaker suffered the
Orbis.
Abyss, yeah. And again, another really fascinating guy. If it's not something you've watched, I would really highly recommend checking it out. Yeah. He's such an awesome guy. Still keeps in touch. He's just a really nice fella.
Yeah. I mean, as well,
one of them.
Well, I was just going to say, check his work out. He's got a website, Mask Art Company. He's based in New York. He does some wonderful work. So if you you know, need anything, slapsticks, masks, whatever, check him out. He's a wonderful guy.
He's done I don't know if he still does them, but he's done classes and everything, because he's theatrically trained, so he's done classes on comedy and all sorts. But genuinely fascinating guy. And again, another really quite honest interview as well, because, you know, not all of the experience of dealing with all this sort of stuff, not all of it was great, and it wasn't like he was holding back at it. And to be fair, we try not to be like, go on, let's bitch about things, you know, but it was, I think, a fair and honest interview and a fascinating one. So
He had some fascinating stories about The Undertaker, you know, falling asleep on his couch, and he had some fascinating stories about Mick Foley and the relationship that you had with him, and how it had many peaks and troughs. So if you haven't checked it out, you know, check that one out, because Stanley's a awesome guy. So
indeed. And then Carl, in like a mad run of like almost like big names from your childhood, I suppose, we we finished the rest of our year off so far with we spoke to Brian Clark, Adam Bomb, we spoke to Diamond Dallas Page, spoke to Leaping Lanny Poffo, or the genius Lanny Poffo. I prefer the genius, because that's how I remember him. And then most recently spoke to Mickey James. And it's like, what the fuck? And it's not no discredit to all the other interviews we've done so far, but this was like a sort of run on like your childhood, essentially, Carl. Right here. This is like, well, let's speak to all of these people. And it's like every one of them has been kind of almost like awe-inspiring, because this is like people who, not just like, because obviously we've seen all of them in some capacity on TV, you know what I mean? But these were ones where, like, we were kids watching these guys on TV. And that was just, like, that was really surreal. Really surreal.
There is literally something about every interview that we've done that I absolutely love and hold so dear, you know, in terms of what we've been able to do and accomplish and speak to people and stuff. And, you know, for Brian, obviously, it was, like, his... you know, vindicating him, which he's since gone on to be, you know, proven not guilty and stuff, and his story as well, obviously, was wonderful. DDP gave us like nearly 2 hours of his time, just chat,
just because he's a fucking awesome guy,
just riffing about wrestling and like the, you know, the stuff he's beat, like,
honestly, fucking... like, that is probably the interview where we talk the least,
yeah,
right? And that's not a bad thing, but we were just so like, we were just, I would have listened to him for like 4, 5, 6 hours,
100%,
just stories. Just 100%. Stories from wrestling. And that's what we get. He was telling us about the time he met The Rock and they had an interaction over the People's Champion. And just, it's like, And we were just there, like, almost like, well, like, I'm not going to stop him. I'm just going to listen to him. Like, however long he wants to be here and tell us these stories, that's how long he's got.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolute legend. Then Lanny, obviously, just what a fucking gent he is. You know, just didn't pull any punches, was very honest, very raw, very, you know, informative. You know, worked very closely with Kurt Hennig, which is one of my favourites of all time. Macho Man. And obviously, Genius. Like, I grew up watching The Genius. Like, that for me was so insane, speaking to him. And then to top it off with Mickey James.
He's such a friendly while we're on Lanny, he's such a friendly and witty guy. He's another one who we're probably going to meet in person. He's coming to one of the, I want to say For the Love of Wrestling, might be the other one.
We certainly are. And if you watch the interview, we've got a certain little, introduction
planned. Yeah, we need to approach him a certain way. But again, just such a, like, he wasn't just like, let's do the interview and let's get this done. He was like, you know, yeah, when I'm there, you know, come and say hello. And you know, he's just such an awesome guy. And like you say, he's very funny, very raw interview. Really enjoyed. And then, let's talk about the next one, Carl. What error did you make on the Mickey James one? Sorry, you did mention that earlier.
Maybe slightly got one of our accomplishments wrong and blame Wikipedia for it. It's probably just me being fucking... I mean, well, you know, right, behind-the-scenes stuff. I was away in the lakes. I'd messaged Mickey, her agent, and was like, you know, Empower's coming up. You know, I'd love to speak to her, you know, about Empower, blah, blah, blah. You know, away in the middle of the Lake District somewhere, hardly any signal, managed to get a bit of signal, was like, looked at my phone, yeah, we can do tomorrow. I was like, are you shitting me? I was like, I couldn't believe it. I messaged Anthony, he was like, oh my God, I'm in the lakes, how am I going to come up with questions and stuff? Like, luckily, we managed to kind of pull it all out, but, you know, that was probably the reason why I fucked it up, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's endearing. If anything, she's going to, you know, no offense, Anthony, but if anything, she'll be like, it's that guy who fucked up my name and the guy with the beard. Well, so I feel like I came off better here.
If you look through the interview, she knew you by name by the end of that. So
yeah.
So I think that little drop at the beginning there, I think that endeared you to her almost.
I think, did I say then the guy who fucked up my name? I meant the guy who fucked up by the amount of titles. But yeah, I feel like I came off more in her brain after that. And I'm down for that. I'll take that.
And you know what? Like we did some careful editing on the Mickey one, but you know, she was so good with the interview with us. But obviously, she had a son had come home from school. We didn't want to take too much of her time because obviously she wanted to spend some time with the son. He made an appearance on the show. I'd say some of those elements we did edit out for the sake of Mickey and for the sake of the interview because we wanted to keep it as wrestling related as possible. But you know, she's just such an awesome family person as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can tell how much like. Just loves the family and you know, it just humanized her so much. And in some ways, I wish I'd have left a lot of those bits in because you just realize how much of a normal person she is as well.
Do you know what? Yeah, but, I mean,
keeping it wrestling related, so I edited some of it.
you basically articulate, you know, that much better than I would have done. But yeah, it completely humanized her. And I think it was so surreal just as parents ourselves to see her with her son, just like, you know, her apologizing to us. And it was just like
well, again, I think I cut it out of the interview because it wasn't wrestling related. But there was a moment there we were talking about Peppa Pig and stuff, and it's it's so weird for us that like she's in the same boat, like but she's like super famous. So
no,
I think that was very humanizing.
Literally all the time in the world for Mickey. I think she's fucking wonderful. I can't believe we spoke to her. I'm made up, absolutely made up.
Yeah. So, that's our brief talk on the interview. So we've got some other bits, Carl, but I mentioned it before, so I want to make sure to get it in, right? I want to rant about the current state of wrestling, right? Because there's a couple of bits that I want to complain about, right? And one I've touched on before, and that is the fact that people seem to think that you have to constantly see a wrestler or they're being buried, right? But the first one I want to talk about, and this is a massive change in topic, so apologies, guys, but I'm getting it in because I've been drinking, right? We put up a post on our TikTok, right, of Ruby Soho, right? Because that's, like, we tend to put different videos up. Sometimes they'll be related to someone who's recently been showcased somewhere, so obviously it becomes quite relevant. And a lot of the comments, despite people just generally being dicks and making comments about a physical appearance and such, which you get from trolls on the internet all the time, one of the things we were getting is like people going like, oh, she's so overrated. And this is why I wanted to talk about this topic now, because I'm like, I really can't understand this mentality of saying someone's like, can you imagine any wrestling promotion, right, who brings in a new wrestler that they want to push but then they have to then treat them like, oh, you know, she's no big deal. Is such a person, she's no big deal. Like, I don't, of course she is. Of course they're going to make out like she's a massive deal, because how are we meant to get behind her if they don't get behind her? And that's the bit I really can't fathom. Like, they're almost upset that AEW are making out like she's a big sign and a big deal. It's like, but they're pushing her. That's what it's about. Can you imagine how, like, John Cena would have been received by the fans, or Brock Lesnar, or anyone, if WWE hadn't pushed them like they were fucking something?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a mentality that has really been puzzled. I've been thinking about this all week. Like, what is that? Why do people not think that you can't make a big deal out of somebody?
Yeah. I was baffled, so twofold. Firstly, I was baffled by the comments we got on TikTok. I thought it was absolutely horrendous. You know, there were people out there just, like, making fun of like, Ruby for all these different things, and it was just like, really? Like, I don't want to be associated with that. Like, that's not why we put these videos out there. We've had this, we've had a similar thing with the Darby Allin video, and I get it, he's a polarizing character.
Really polarizing. Like,
right? We get it, but it's like, it started all these, like, fucking AEW versus WWE fanboy, like, things going on, and it's just like, that's not why we put videos up. We don't want that to be the, you know, the fucking battleground for, you know, silly people, basically. But, Ruby deserves to be part of that conversation of the amazing acquisitions that AEW have made over the last, couple of weeks, because she was massively underutilized in WWE, and she's come there, and, you know, of course they're going to push her. You know, she's won the Battle Royal, she's now got a title fight.
Like, if you think about it, right, they've made a big deal of a lot of people coming to AEW, but because she's come from WWE, they expect that AEW shouldn't, like, well, she's not that big a deal. And it's like, so what, you want AEW to treat her like that and go, here's someone else we signed.
Yeah.
There's some last. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me why they wouldn't make a big deal of it. Like, and I don't understand why that mentality
exists. The thing is, like,
she's got potential, and she's a big deal. She's not overrated. She's not even rated at this point.
Yeah.
But she's a big deal, but I hate the term overrated, because it's like, she hasn't done anything. It's not like everyone in commentary is going, wow, we've got the best women's wrestler in the world. Like, no. That would be overrated.
Yeah.
Right? They're making a big deal because she's here, because she's been an independent talent and it's been hyping her arrival somewhere.
Yeah.
So they made a big deal that she's turned up in AEW and she has the potential. But how can you call her overrated? She's only had one match. Two, technically now.
No, I think, like, you're absolutely right. I think people will have only seen her in WWE, and to be honest, that's the bulk of where I've seen her as well. I saw one or two things, you know, prior to that. But by all accounts, anyone who knows her from pre-WWE knows that she is an absolute fucking baller. So she's come to AEW, she's got the opportunity now to prove who she is, and they are backing her. And, you know, they've made her win the Battle Royal, and she's beat Jamie Hayter, and now she's got a date in Destiny with Britt Baker. So I don't know if she'll win it. You know, but at the end of the day, she is a talent. She's a fantastic wrestler and a lovely person by all accounts. So, you know, just let it happen. Just see what happens.
Yeah, it's just this fucked up mentality. You can't push her because she's ex-WWE, so you can't push her. Like, she's overrated, blah, blah, blah. It's like, it's just nonsense. Like, she's a new talent and they're going to push her. Totally fine with that. Same way WWE would do that with anyone. And they have done. Look at how much they pushed Karrion Kross when he turned up to NXT. Was anyone sat there going, well, he's overrated? No, because he came in like a big deal and he treated him like a big deal. That's all WWE, that's all AEW have done with Ruby.
Yeah.
So I wanted to moan about that for a sec, because it just puzzles me.
No, you're right.
And I can't remember what my other rant was now, Carl.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. This constant appearances that wrestle, like, I've touched on this, but I think we should discuss it as a topic, right? Like, looking at the heyday of, is it the heyday? The older days of wrestling, you look at the likes of Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan, that sort of era, your childhood era, Carl. They didn't have to be on TV twice a week, whatever. They didn't have to be constantly in your face. They were still a big deal and a big main event guy.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that we need to get back to that? Because, people constantly going about screen time, and there's always this almost concerned that everyone needs to get some screen time in, and so on and so on. But do you think screen time is that important? When you are at the top of the company and you are the big deal and the main eventer, do you actually think it's better to have some time when you're not seen, so then people almost are in, like, it's a big deal when you do turn up.
Yeah.
Like, in some ways, people moan about part-timers, but you know, I think in some ways it's a bigger deal when Brock had the title and wasn't there every week and did turn up. Almost like the old days. People sort of look down at it, like, oh, he's a part-time champion, but most champions were part-time.
Yeah.
Like, that was half of what CM Punk was cutting about when he was saying about, like, you know, if he only had to work, like, four times a year, he'd have been, like... He was cut a promo, sort of, I think it was related to Bruno Sammartino about the length of the championship, and he said he'd have that kind of title run as well if he only had to do four shows a year. And it was like that kind of thing. Is like, there's a stark difference between the hours CM Punk was putting in when he was champ in WWE to the hours that previously champions had to put in, or the likes of CM Punk, the likes of Brock Lesnar had to put in when he was champ and turned up four, five, six times a year. But yeah. I don't think that's necessarily the worst thing. I mean, when you're talking about the amount of times people can get injured and the amount of times people are putting their body on the line, do we need them to be punishing themselves week in, week out?
No, not for me. I think there was a time before the brand split where, you know, Raw and SmackDown had the same roster. You know, as crazy as that might sound. And, you know, every Raw, you wouldn't have everybody on the show. Every SmackDown, you wouldn't have everybody on the show. But, you know, combined, you probably feature the majority of talent. And then if you didn't, it would be switched up by the next episodes. And so you get a lot of fans now looking at AEW going, the roster's too big and you don't see anything of XYZ. Then it's like, well, is that a bad thing by having a mixed roster? You know, we spoke about this. I wish I had the facts written down like I did the other week. But you look at the amount of rematches that WWE have had versus the likes of AEW. AEW, I think, have had 6 rematches. And it's like, well, wow. You know, in comparison to WWE, where you feel like you're seeing the same thing every fucking week, you know, that means something. And it means more when you finally get to see the match you want to see. So, for me, I think, you know, back... I don't think SmackDown and Raw were broken before the draft split. It was when they did that. And don't get me wrong, they did the draft split and they drafted the likes of Edge and Rey Mysterio and stuff, you know, Eddie, Chavo, to SmackDown. And they shone. They did fantastic. And maybe they wouldn't have had the opportunity to do that when it was a, you know, everyone on the roster on both shows. So it made sense at the time. But,
yeah,
you know, I think it's perfectly fine to have same roster across, you know, like, you know, similar to what AEW is doing now. Everyone doesn't have to be featured every episode, only when it makes sense.
It's actually better for wrestlers' health. Why should we, like, why should they have to put in like that much work to the point that they look at the amount of people who are like having to retire early and suffer bad injuries and so on, like that.
Yeah.
Like, maybe we'd like eliminate some of that if we weren't making them work the amount of work that they're doing now compared to how it was years ago.
Yeah. I mean, also as a fan,
it might feel like an over exaggeration, but like you look at the likes of Daniel Bryan and that, who've had to sort of pull back. Like, yeah, he still can wrestle and that's fantastic, but he's not wrestling week in, week out now. Like, he's appeared on AEW, he's done some segments, he's took a bump, but he's not having matches week in, week out because he can't. So why don't we get to a point where it's like they don't have to be on screen all the time just to be signed to a company? I think this mentality come from the likes of WWE, who are going, well, I'm paying this guy, so he's going to be on TV and I'm going to get my money's worth.
Yeah.
Because why pay him if he's not going to be on screen, kind of thing. So if they're paying, I'll go back to CM Punk because he's on my screen now. If they're paying CM Punk so many million to be their champion, he's going to be on the screen constantly because that's how they get their money's worth. And I don't think that's a good mentality to have, but I think that's where it's come from. I think that's why they've been sort of like... That's where the shift has come, and we've gone, well, you need to see these people all the time. We need a champion on every show. It needs to be a big deal on every show and so on like that, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it's fine to do that. I think, you know, scatter it and make, you know, when you finally see the matches, it's what, you know, like the problem you have with WWE is that you see every match fucking 5 or 6 times a year, at least. Whereas, like...
I can give you your numbers if you want. I quickly Googled them. Rematches this year for AEW, there were 16. We're talking 16. Main roster, by the way.
Okay.
For WWE, there were 160.
So, yeah, exactly the point. And the problem is, with most of them rematches, it's of main event feuds that, like, you know, you could build up and get... Like, the point of wrestling is to build feuds where you want to see the match and see who wins. When you're having them matches every week on the same show, who do you get excited about seeing anymore? Because you've seen everyone fight everyone. So at least in AEW, it might be like, okay, we've got, you know, so-and-so speaks this week and so-and-so's on commentary this week. And it does feel a bit like, oh, for fuck's sake, you know, they don't need to be on every show. And I get that. Mm. But they're not fighting each other every week and having like a best of three, which happens in WWE all the time.
I'm still a fan. Like, I still believe absence makes the heart grow fonder, right? Mm. And that doesn't have to be on a big scale. That can be like, you don't see them for a few weeks, so you're happy when they do turn up and they have a match. But look at the fact that, like, it doesn't just go for the part-time talent. Like, when Edge come back, I was like, oh my god. Or when Brock comes back after having 2 years off, everyone's still like, oh my god. Even just look at Roman Reigns being out during the pandemic and coming back when it was safer. Like, that was a bigger deal because we've not seen him. Like, it makes for a bigger pop when, and to be honest, I reckon people are tuning more if they didn't know who was going to turn up.
Yeah.
Somebody might. We've not seen them in a while. Somebody might.
That is a fantastic point. Like, everything is like pre-announced on social media nowadays. There's no excitement anymore, WWE. Like, you know, like, even like, everybody knew CM Punk was going to show up. Everyone knew it, right? But they didn't go,
there was never
CM Punk showing up tonight.
Confirmed.
Right? Yeah. WWE, you have that every 2 minutes. Every surprise is ruined because they want so much for people to tune in that they will happily, you know, spoil the surprise. Whereas, like,
see, I think that they're not confident enough to play the long game now and go, well, if we consistently do surprises and so on like that, then people will tune in regularly in case something happens.
Yeah.
They want the numbers straight away because they're appeasing networks, aren't they? That's what they're doing. They're going, well, this is what's going to be the case. You know, Fox want this and Fox want that. Because, look, Fox weren't happy with, like, certain changes or certain appearances on Raw and vice versa. Like, whoever, USA, you still got Raw, weren't happy with Brock Lesnar coming back for SmackDown and stuff like that. It's, you know, they've got two rivaling, well, not rivaling, but they've got two separate companies wanting the biggest ratings. So it becomes an almost impossible task for them, really.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think, obviously, the networks aren't happy, so they're doing what they can, but yeah, I think as wrestling fans, you want to be surprised. You want to not know everything before you actually watch the show, because what's the point? Like, that is the same tactic that WCW tried to get WWE with back in the day, where it's like, we'll reveal everything that's going to happen on the show ahead of time, and then you won't watch it. And it's like, well, you're now revealing everything that's going to happen on your show ahead of time, and you're expecting people to watch it. And it's like, what? Like, learn from the mistakes of the past, you know? But yeah, baffling.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. So, so that's my take on wrestling, Carl. Like, I just I feel like it's probably better for everyone. Like, we don't necessarily, did we even see Miro this week on Dynamite?
No.
And did we need to? Is he still the TNT champion? Is he still a big deal? Yeah, he's not been buried. I'm sure there's plenty of people. Oh, he's being buried. He's not been on TV. It doesn't work like that.
No.
Were we still
no Miro, no Kingston, nothing.
Of course we were.
Yeah.
So, for me, it works. Let them have a week off, for God's sake.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. 100%.
Totally. So, Carl, you know, let's move on to slight other topics. You know, we've got some conventions coming up over here in the good old UK that we'll be attending. So
we do.
Can we talk a little bit about what's the first one we've got coming up? Is Wales Comic Con.
Wales Comic Con, yeah, November I think it is. I think we are down to meet the likes of Bret Hart, Sting, a couple of AEW stars. Then we've got Britt Baker is coming to that one. Jungle Boy, nice. Luchasaurus, I think Millie and Perez is coming there. So it should be a pretty darn good day all around. But I think we will try and keep everyone posted on social media and stuff, what's happening, maybe do some live streaming and stuff. But yeah, I think it's going to be cool. Obviously, I've met Brett before at Waterstones back in the day, signing my copy of the Bret Hart book. You need to go and check that out, Hitman. Fantastic read, my favourite book of all time, probably. So yeah, be nice to see him again, because the picture I had with him is ruined, it's gone, I don't have it anymore. So I need to have a picture with him to look back on.
What are you going to get him to sign this time, Carl?
whatever he's willing to, you know, to be fair. if he can manage to fit the excellence of execution on my dick, then yeah, we'll go with that. Might be a challenge, but we'll
get it to right. The best there is, the best there was, the best there <Yeah. laughs>
as small as you possibly can. So yeah, looking forward to that. Sting, obviously never met him. If he comes along, then yeah, psych for that. I think a couple of people have
been some speculation about Sting, haven't there?
Yeah, so obviously we don't really know what's going on at the minute in terms of what's required, in terms of vaccination and stuff like that. I think Sting, I'm not saying he's like an anti-vaxxer or not like that, I don't really know, but I don't believe he's vaccinated. So, yeah, people are basically saying, like, you know, is he still going to attend, stuff like that, are they going to cancel last minute? So I hope not, because he's one of the main reasons we bought the tickets. So if not, then, yeah, it's going to be exciting to meet him as well. And then, yeah, you know, Britt
although
Baker.
Although Sting can't make it, I've heard Steve Borden, mate.
Oh, okay. feels almost like a dig at the other convention we're going at, to be honest. You can't use that name anymore. but yeah, so we're also going to meet Britt Baker. I think that's going to be cool. You know, massive fan of Britt. I think she's been phenomenal for the women's division in AEW, becoming a massive star. So,
and obviously, you know, we are fellow Brits, so I'm sure she'll.
We are fellow Brits. I like that. We, you know, say that to her. Maybe the charm will work out if we get on the pod.
Right, she'll probably heard that about 700 times that day.
Yeah. I mean, Jungle Boy's going. Maybe they'll announce Anna Jay. Who knows? Remains to be seen.
Those who don't know, Jungle Boy is punching.
He is certainly punching. But yeah, you know, I think a lot of people speculated that because of all the people coming to the convention, maybe it's going to line up with an UK tour of some kind. But
I mean, we can only hope.
I mean, yeah. Defo. I mean, we're not going to get fucking down to Craven Cottage, are we? It's going to be fucking difficult if we do.
I think Tony needs to admit the heart of wrestling is in the north. And it's in Liverpool.
It is.
For my convenience.
It is. It's in my backyard. Basically, it's little travelling I can do. Let's do that.
It's over here in the A to the K studios.
So, yeah, you know, if they announce a UK tour, I'm going to be so fucking psyched for that. If we can attend it, I think we absolutely need to. But we will see. But yeah, so Wales Comic Con, we will be there. We will try and keep everyone updated on socials and stuff.
We'll probably be there and be square.
We'll probably do some live streaming as well. Instagram, TikTok combination, who even knows?
If you want to see our awkward interactions with wrestlers live, you'll get to. Maybe.
Do you want to see me be slapped in the face by Britt Baker? Well, tune in. So, yeah. So, obviously.
Almost like that could be our thing. That could be our gimmick if we can get them all to slap you. You take a slap from Brett.
All to slap you. Yeah, yeah. I'm down for that. Yeah.
Maybe we take a slap a piece. I don't know.
Okay. But yeah. So obviously we've got the Wales Comic Con, which we're excited for, and then in the new year we've got For the Love of Wrestling 2. We've amassed quite a decent number of names now by. Who we're going to meet.
Yeah.
Let me load up my little... I've got a spreadsheet. Of course I've got a spreadsheet.
Massive spreadsheets.
Yeah. I am. It's a bit of a sin, bit of a blessing, same time. But yeah, so we have got photo ops with a number of people. So Kurt Angle, obviously, is the main photo op of choice. We are currently waiting for him to reconfirm for the event, but ideally he will be. Obviously... Kurt is someone we speak to quite a bit. He's a very busy man.
He is a busy man. But Kurt, come on.
Get on the pod. There. Get on the fucking pod. Oh, yeah. Be there as well. Yeah. Sorry. But no. Yeah. Obviously, Kurt, we are trying for Kurt. Obviously, we love Kurt. So he's been really gracious with us and just, you know, being up front, how busy he is, you know, his own podcast and, you know, WWE Network shows and stuff that he's got going on. So, you know, maybe one day, but we'll see. But we're also meeting the likes of Trish Stratus, the Dudley Boys, Tori Wilson,
yeah.
Money Inc., MJF, Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, and Braun Strowman. So,
Braun Strowman. Do you think we're going to get a Raquel Gonzalez appearing? I know they don't have to turn up in couples, I'm just asking.
Probably not, to be fair. I don't think anyone, no offense, Raquel, I don't think anyone, well, many people will buy tickets to see you, unfortunately. So that's the thing with the convention game, isn't it? You've got to get guests who are going to be worth the money, basically.
Take your point. But no, good old Braun Strowman, man. He's killing it already on the old ticket sales, isn't he? So
certainly is. Not a bad price either. To be fair, you know, considering he was the champion a while ago.
Well, like, pleasure to meet you, Braun. Would you be a train for me, Braun?
Choo choo, motherfucker! Sign my ass. so yeah, so that is looking good as well. Still more guests to be announced, but you know, I think it's going to give us just another little bit of variety to add. You know, I keep saying it. Oh, yeah. I feel like a bit of a broken record, but that is what we're about. You know, we are not an interview podcast. We're a
variety show.
Yeah, we are a variety show. Anthony's going to juggle for you. Hello. You'll fucking like it. But no, like, you know, we try and keep things entertaining. We don't want to just be samey. We don't just want to go, oh, we need an interview. We'll interview this guy and stumble our way through it and just not care. Or not, you know, not know anything about the career and stuff like that. So, you know, we'll only speak to people that we want to speak to. We'll only do segments that we actually think are fun or we're going to have fun with. And, you know, if you are a listener or a watcher of this show, hopefully you know that by now. We don't do it for any other reason. The fact that, you know, we enjoy it. We love just once a week catching up together, chatting about what's happened in wrestling and some other crazy shit where we go on tangents. And then when we go, you know, if we're planning to go on a lot of tangents, we frame it as whiskey and wrestling. But, yeah, so obviously it's been a hell of an 18 months. We've got a lot more stuff to come, obviously the Comic Cons and stuff like that. But also we've got, Anthony, what has become almost like annual traditions now. So Rumble Talk, we mentioned, was the first episode of the podcast.
It was, and we try and do that now every Rumble, don't we?
We do. Obviously, I think we introduced a drinking game at one point and stuff. Obviously, we went live on
Twitch.
Proved
to be quite popular. You know, did? Like, we had quite a few, even podcasts, other podcasts, were sort of using our drinking game and sort of tagged us in that and that. It was just nice to see. I think you put a lot of work into balancing that drinking game. It's difficult because some things
you say that idle, you say that, but a lot of people were like, "Okay, I'm going to be dead after the third match and stuff." So it's like, you know, ultimately, you know, I think I tried to put it on the actual graphic that I made and stuff as well. It's like, you know, how much you can drink and how much is going to basically kill you. So, you know, if you look at the game and go, "Yeah, that's bad," please don't do the game. If you look at the game and go, "Yeah, I can do that," do the game.
We're CM Punk fans, so there is a straight edge option. You can just drink juice.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. There's nowhere did it say you have to drink any type of beverage. So that is perfectly compliant with the rules.
So we're definitely going to do a Rumble Talk. We might do another drinking game. Do you think for that?
Maybe.
Do the same drinking game for that.
Maybe take some feedback and modify it slightly, but it'd be pretty similar, I think. But yeah, why not? You know, the Rumble is something which is pretty close to our hearts, isn't it? It's where we started. Let's come round, get a pizza, get drunk, watch the Rumble, have fun. So, you know, the getting drunk aspect is pretty important to the show, I think. So that'll work.
And then we always follow that with an A to the Cania, which has been affectionately named. I don't know if we originally named it that, but it's certainly what we've used for the last couple of years, isn't it? So.
Yeah, I think it grew arms and legs last year. I think, obviously, we planned almost like, you know, a fucking plethora of activity. It was like, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, there's going to be a competition.
Yeah, we had like specific segments relating to WrestleMania and stuff like that, didn't we, as well? We were very specific about it.
We had like a crown in the best WrestleMania of all time, like in the polls and stuff like that. So obviously it might not make sense to do the same thing again this year because it was so recent, but I'm sure we'll be active. We'll come up with some, you know, cool interactive things.
Well, I have an idea. I'm going to propose this to you now, Carl.
Go on.
I think Shawn Michaels, and this might be polarizing, I think Shawn Michaels does no longer deserve the title of Mr. WrestleMania.
Okay.
I think we should do a tournament to crown the real Mr. WrestleMania.
I like that, you know. Fuck it. I hate Shawn Michaels, let's do it. I'll record a video. Because Shawn Michaels is a cunt. Who's the real?
Doesn't matter how much religion you find. If you're a cunt, you're a cunt.
It's true.
Bottom line of it.
God can't save you from being a twat, as they say. So, yeah, I like that, you know. But, yeah, we will be obviously back doing some Ace of the Cania type activities, some kind of poll series type thing. Poll. And obviously a drinking game, probably do like a live stream. And maybe a giveaway again, why not? I mean, we don't...
Who knows?
I think a lot of, you know, Instagram pages, podcasts and stuff just do giveaways all the time to, like, get followers and stuff. And, yeah, again, we're not really that bothered. Like, I mean, we are, obviously.
I don't know how you feel about this, Carl, but, like, and I absolutely love the fact that we have any sort of fan base, but at the same time, I'm like, I'd sooner they just be here because they want to be here.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, it. You know, it could be so easy to, like, buy fucking followers or, you know, do... And it's like, well, what really does that get you?
Like, anyone who doesn't, like, try and do, like, podcasts or any of the social media influencers and blogs, just as a little bit of an insight, you'd be surprised how often you get people, like, or people or companies or whatever, messenger about inflating your fucking followers and your views and that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, there's so much opportunity for, like, well, let's push that number up, which is shocking. Even when you don't ask for it, they just message you, like, oh, we're looking at this and we can help you improve it by this much. And it's like, yeah, maybe we're robots or some shit, I don't know, but nah.
Well, exactly. It's like, you know, yeah, sound, I've got, like, all these followers now. Look at the listeners and views. Nothing. No change. So it's like, yeah, I'd rather people follow us because they enjoy what we're putting out, which is the main thing. So,
well, we said from the off, even if it ended up just be you and me, the only ones who ever listen to this, we'd still be happy because that's the mechanism was just to catch up and talk wrestling. But the fact that we've got any sort of fan base is fucking amazing, to be fair.
I mean, you know, the whole point of this segment really was to look back over the last 18 months. And did you think 18 months ago we would have interviewed the caliber of people we've interviewed? We would have, you know, had the amount of people tuning into, like, live Twitch fucking shows and stuff, and, you know, the amount of followers on YouTube, the amount of followers on TikTok, and interactions we have with people.
That's like, the thing. Like, I'm absolutely in awe of some of the people we've managed to speak to. I think we've met some really awesome people. We interact regularly with some really awesome people. And, like, everyone, I say everyone, a lot of our followers on Instagram, they love to follow your tournament brackets, which is awesome. Like, we see the same people interacting regularly. We've got, I dare say we've made some friends there, you know, through the social media side of things, who they love to interact with the, and obviously we do the same. We love to interact with the content they're putting out. We're all wrestling fans, and we all share a similar sort of interest, and it's just fucking fun, isn't it? To be fair, it's awesome.
Yeah. No, like, honestly, definitely. I think, you know, you won't get us messaging you, like, you know, often going like this, like that. Like, maybe if we've got, like, an interview or something and we want to... Yeah,
we have done that, but usually we just make people aware that we've done an interview because we're shocked.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, yeah, so, I mean... Look at this. Like, so for, like, you know, Mickie James, for example, I sent that out quite a bit because I thought, well, she's trying to push in power. It's important to her, and I think it's a good thing for wrestling. So it wasn't about promoting us. It was more about promoting the events. So, you know, we're not going to be the kind of people who just message all the time, be like this, follow this, and stuff like that. And it's like, that's cool, and I get it. It builds your brand, and it gets your likes, and it makes, you know, makes other people see more kind of, you know, prominent and stuff in the industry. But it's just not us. We will happily support people doing that, but...
Yeah, we're not above it either. I mean, we've got an agenda. Like we did push our YouTube for a while to try and get our custom URL. Yeah. But then we got a custom URL, so we calmed down and we stopped messaging.
Yeah, exactly.
It's usually a reason.
Yeah. No, exactly. So, but yeah, I just think I think competitive is the wrong word. I think there's a lot of variety out there in the podcast world, and I think explore all of it. Like, you know, anyone listening to this now, you know, we thank you because you do it for us at the end of the day. So if you're willing to listen to us for an hour and 4 minutes at least, then, you know, yeah, it's a humbling thing, I think. And, you know, hopefully you take some enjoyment out of what we do because it's just us chatting as, like, best mates. But we obviously try and do it in a way that is going to be, you know, interest people as well. So, yeah, obviously we are appreciative of everyone who follows us on any of our socials or watches or listens anywhere. But yeah, obviously we're going to keep doing what we're doing. We are a variety podcast, as we keep, you know, basically, if you're going to take anything away from this fucking thing, we're a variety podcast. We get awesome guests when we want them.
I'm going to push for Carl to have our little slogan underneath our logo now to say a variety show, in quotes.
The A to the K variety show. Yeah, fuck it, we'll change it.
The A to the K variety. I think we need to.
We're not a wrestling show. We're a variety show. I would put Variety Hour.
And about as fun.
Yeah, I would put Variety Hour, but knowing you, it'd be fucking 3 hours every fucking time anyway. Yeah.
I always aim for about 30 minutes. Mm. How's my aim?
Yeah, it's way off.
So let's. I know we're reaching near the end, Carl, but I want to ask you one question, and you have to exclude the people we've already interviewed, right? Okay. So you may have already hit one of the hit this target when I question it like this, but excluding the people we've already interviewed, who would be your dream interview?
I mean, I won't lie. I would love to interview Bret Hart, and I don't think it's going to happen. But of course I would.
I've not seen him do a lot of interviews, no. And usually they're not the smaller fish like us, so yeah. Maybe like that.
I mean, you may remember I reached out to him at one point, and obviously, it wasn't really met with any kind of favourability, so I can't see it happening. But he is my favourite wrestler. Definitely, obviously, you know, him and Kurt Hennig were my two favourite wrestlers. I probably can't separate them. Obviously, Kurt, unfortunately, has passed away. So, naturally, I would go to Bret as, the only living one of my favourite wrestlers to, you know, potentially get on the show. But I don't think that's going to happen. That being said, there's a few. There's a few that I would love to just chat with and stuff. I think, you know, I want to keep the names close to my chest because there's a couple that we are speaking to at the minute. There's maybe an upcoming interview, which is going to be cool.
We'll keep it to. I asked you for your all time, like, who would you be your dream one? So we'll call it Bret.
Okay, yeah, Bret.
Yeah. I'll give you mine, and I don't think you'll be surprised. It would be The Undertaker, mm-hmm. Mark Calloway. And you never know, it's getting more feasible. He's turned into he's a talkative bastard now.
He is.
To be honest with you. But yeah. I think, I don't know if this is necessarily true or whether we're just shit at approaching people, but like there seems to be like you can't really get WWE people unless you're like proper connected.
Yeah.
Like there's like you're behind that WWE wall, aren't you? Most WWE people can't do it, or you have to go through WWE's media teams and all that kind of bullshit. So I don't think we're going to realistically get Mark Calloway, but
no.
Like hands down my favourite wrestler growing up, and it'd be awesome to just chat to him or just listen to him because I probably wouldn't have a lot to say. I'd be just like...
But, I mean, even to a degree, it's somewhat difficult to sign, talent, to interview talent who are all elite because, certain people in, that we reach out to.
Which is ironic because two of the people we've interviewed are all elite, but they weren't when we spoke to them.
No,
so we'd not be able to get near them now. There you go. Yeah, that's another interesting thing. Anyone who's listening who might be looking into doing these sort of things and for some reason is looking to us, that's an interesting thing. Is like a lot of the, like, we've spoke to people who've been like, yeah, I'm happy to do it, like, more than happy to do it, but like, you need to go to their media team. And they might have been fobbing us off, I don't know, but they send us to AEW's media team. You go to them and go, we've been speaking to this person. They're happy to do it, but obviously we need to book it through yourselves, and they come back to us and go, no. And you're like, okay then. Cool, thanks.
Yeah.
That's paraphrasing. Didn't exactly go no. They were more polite. Well, there was more words.
But, yeah. No availability at this time.
But that's interesting. Like, there seems to be, like, I don't know how they control it, whether you have to be, like, an actual radio broadcast or, TV show. They don't seem to do, like, basically they don't seem to, from what I gather, they don't seem to do the independent podcasts.
No.
So I don't know what notoriety you need to have before they consider that, but we'll find out.
Yeah. And I think,
we'll find out.
You know, the whole point of Whiskey and Wrestling is to be transparent about, isn't it? Like, you know, the person we're talking about here in particular is Christopher Daniels.
Yes.
You know, he's...
Well, sure, actually, because Preston Vance as well.
Yeah, Christopher Daniels, Preston Vance, two guys that we had spoken to, you know, privately, and were down for it, but had to go through the media team. But yeah, we just didn't get response, or there was no availability, so couldn't get it done. But you know, these are the kind of things that obviously we do. Like, we don't just go, you know, here's everybody, here's everyone with an email, let's just email everyone, you know, because, like, you know, no offense to certain people, but like, we couldn't hold a conversation. There's been, you know, I won't mention this person by name, someone came back to us and said, yeah, I will, you know, I'll do an interview on your podcast, it's going to cost you X amount. And we were like, okay, that's the first red flag, because, you know, do we want to pay for interviews, or do we want to just, you know, have some kind of a conversation? But then,
I
mean, it was like,
I don't blame, like, you know, if that's their worth, like, anyone can value themselves. Like, I'm totally fine with that. If that's what they think their worth is, that's fine. But and we've always been more than polite about it, because I know we've had that at least once, and we've always more than polite about it when we're like, because essentially we've had to say no, and that's not because we don't want to speak to the person, but unfortunately being behind a paywall makes it difficult for us, because this is a passion project. We don't make money from this show.
No.
You know, we at the end of the day, we don't want it costing us a great deal either. So that has been a shame, but again, you know, they can do that if they want to, that's fine. Yeah. But it is a shame when we get that. And I think, I know we've had that at least once, which, again, we won't name names or amounts, but it just was a bit too high, really, for what, like, it's like, nah, that's too much, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we kind of pride ourselves on, you know, finding people that we want to speak to who want to speak to us as well, and being a compelling thing. So, you know, we don't really pay at all, you know, for anything that we do, because, you know, as Anthony said, it's a passion project, and we do it because we want to do it. And, you know, some of, you know, well, yeah, all the guests that we speak to pretty much are, you know, gracious enough to just come on the show and just chat to us. So, you know, that's what we're about. And obviously there are podcasts out there who, you know, will pay, you know, amounts to people to get them on the show, and if that works for them, that's cool as well.
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know,
but again, it falls into that, like, if this is the kind of thing you're looking into, it goes to that cost benefit thing, doesn't it, of going, well, you know, if you're doing this as a business, which some people do, and they do it, they are an interview show and they're making money from it, the cost might be worth it to them, you know, and more power to them. That's how you want to do it. But you always got to decide what your limits are when it comes to cost. I mean, if you're looking at doing these sort of things.
Yeah. But no, so I think obviously that's something I'm quite proud of, as you know, everyone we've had on the show, has been just like doing it for the sake of talking to us, really, which is mad. So
yeah, you know, it's really cool, isn't it, to be fair.
Yeah.
And that's why we've always been big on, like, especially now we've actually developed a bit of a fan base, especially on TikTok side of things. That's why we always try and promote what they're doing as much as we possibly can, as much as, like, they've probably got a bigger fan base than us and usually have. Like, if we can promote them in any way, or this side of the pond in any way, then, you know, whatever we can do to, like, show our gratitude, I suppose, for the fact that he goes that time is always,
I mean,
a plus.
You know, Tesco, don't come at me, but every little helps. And I think, you know, for the likes of even like
copyright strike,
even like, you know, Georgia and stuff like that, like, obviously she's got a massive following compared to us, but, you know, getting Davey on the Walk of Fame, like, obviously we're going to share that. We're going to, you know, anyone who's been on our show, we will always, you know, share what's going on with them and, you know, support them and stuff like that. And that's the least we can do. Like, they've come on our show out of faith and, you know, to share some story and, you know, stuff like that. So anyone who comes on this show, we will always be an advocate of, because they give us their time at the end of the day. And, you know, anything we can do to, you know, support them, we will.
Indeed. But no, it's been a fun 18 months, and I look forward to a fun 18 more.
Oh, yeah. 18 months, man. Crazy shit.
Crazy, isn't it?
That has gone hella fast.
And it's the irony, like, guys, we were never a pandemic podcast, but we kind of ended up being one, because we actually started this before any of that shit happened.
I know.
It just so happens that most of our show has been during the pandemic.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, we've got plans, you know, when the world returns back to normal a little bit. Probably going to be the new year by now, but We are planning we are planning to obviously do this thing, you know, in person together at some point, which obviously is one of the big things. But yeah, I think we're just going to keep on doing what we do. Hopefully, keep on trucking, as they say. And yeah, you know, anyone who is listening to this now, you know, thanks again. Just I think, you know, we'll always be here because we enjoy it. And you know,
indeed.
It's just two buds chatting about wrestling and, you know, mad tangents and all the stuff in between that we don't record. So,
and I think A to the K need to go back to the movies at some point. I'm going to say it now. I enjoyed that segment. I want to talk, I think, about what movie we had recently about wrestling.
Well, we did Ready to Rumble. Did we do The Wrestler?
I think we did our top five favourite movies, which included The Wrestler. Then we talked just about Ready to Rumble, but we've only done Ready to Rumble. So we could talk about The Wrestler. We could talk about Fighting With My Family. We could even go into TV series and talk about Young Rock as well. But yeah, Beyond the Mat. But we could go into the TV series because there's a few of them now.
Yeah. Fuck it. We are going to go back to the movies.
Go back to the movies, guys.
But I think what's coming up, obviously there is a potential interview, schedules allowing, in the coming weeks. But other than that, we've got, I think we're planning to do some kind of prediction thing around AEW versus WWE and like a fantasy booking thing. We've got Extreme Rules results, and then, yeah, maybe it's time to go back to the movies.
Indeed. So, fuck it, just throw that out there while we're there.
Yeah, fuck it. And that's the end of the podcast. But yeah, an hour and 16 minutes of us chatting shit, intoxicated on whiskey. But that is the point of whiskey and wrestling. Hell of an 18 months, hell of a lineup in year one and year two. And we're only in September, so who knows how we're going to round off the year.
With a rap battle with Max Caster.
Well, you know, that is another thing that's potentially on the cards. But yeah, you know, expect from us over the next couple of months, obviously, we'll be at the Telford Takeover for the Wales Comic Con. We'll be after the Love of Wrestling 2 in the new year. I'm sure we'll have a big fat quiz of the year. We're looking to do something with some other podcasts as well at some point. We need to just, you know, stop being lazy and actually agree a time and date. And yeah, you know, as Anthony said, there's going to be some interesting things, you know, like back to the movies and you know, other unique segments that are coming up. But yeah, thank you for the last 18 months. It's been a pleasure to Anthony as well.
Hang on, let me grab me. I'm about to get me Coke one because we're the ones empty.
Boom.
So
way to the K. 18 months of an insane journey, and just getting started. So yeah, that is the show. We spoke about all the happy haps in This Week in Wrestling. We spoke about all the latest news and rumors in the Ringside Report, and we've just finished off by getting wasted and going off script and chatting all things A to the K and wrestling and, you know, various things that you can come to expect over you know, the next few months with us. But yeah, that is the show. We thank you. As always, check us out on all the social medias. We're there. TikTok famous. 11.8k or something now.
Crazy.
Crazy. You know, steadily building on everywhere else as well, but every little helps. Sorry, Tesco. Don't sue us. But yeah, we'll be back next week. I think, again, this week in wrestling, the Ringside Report, and next week I think we're doing potentially like a fantasy booking thing with AEW and WWE, but card is subject to change, so we'll see if anything else comes up that we decide to talk about instead. But yeah, thanks for being with us. We are A to the K, 18 months in, and as Anthony said, here's the next 18 months. We will be back, we'll be seeing you. But for now, here's some wonderful people with some wonderful comments.
Get out of here.
Peace.
You're watching or listening
to A to the K.
A to the K.
A to the K.
These guys are awesome. Check it out.
Check it out. Change your life. You'll be thanking me later.